Old Covenant, New Covenant. One story. The New Testament doesn't fight the Old. The Old Testament predicted the New, by name, 600 years early. Here's the thread. The misunderstanding that splits the Bible in half. A lot of young Christians quietly carry this picture. The Old Testament is the harsh first draft. The New Testament is the kind rewrite, and the two are basically rival books stapled together. If that were true, it would be fair to ask why we keep the first half at all. But it's not true, and the proof is a single word that runs through the whole library like a spine, covenant. Hebrew, beret. Covenant, a binding relationship sealed with promises. Not a casual contract, the ancient world's most serious bond, the word used for the deepest commitments between parties. Greek, diatheke. Covenant, testament. This is why your Bible's two halves are called the Old and New Testament. The very titles are covenant language. The name of the book you hold is telling you the plot. A covenant is how God commits himself. And the Bible is, from the very start, the story of God making and keeping a chain of them. Follow the thread. 2000 BC. God's covenant with Abraham. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Genesis 12 verse 3, the whole world is in view from the first promise. 1400 SBC. The covenant at Sinai through Moses, the law, the sacrifices, the tabernacle, Israel becomes a nation set apart to carry the promise. 1000 BC. The covenant with David, a king from your line will reign forever. 2 Samuel 7 verses 12 to 16. 600 BC. Jeremiah, with Jerusalem collapsing around him, announces that God will one day make a new covenant. I will write my law on their hearts, Jeremiah 31 verses 31 to 34. Stop at that last one, because it changes everything about the two rival books theory. The Old Testament itself announces the new covenant. By name, 600 years before Jesus. The upgrade isn't a Christian invention pasted over the Hebrew Bible. It's the Hebrew Bible's own forward pass, thrown by its own prophet, waiting six centuries for someone to catch it. Jeremiah 31 verses 31 to 34. The exact words, New Covenant, written 600 BC. Read it and notice what God promises to do differently. The night the thread was caught. Fast forward to a Thursday night in Jerusalem. Jesus takes a cup at Passover, the meal that celebrates the covenant with Moses, and says, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Luke 22 verse 20. He's quoting Jeremiah. Every Jew at that table knew it. Jesus is claiming in one sentence that the 600-year-old promise is being fulfilled at that table, in him, that weekend. Luke 22 verse 20. Jesus picks up Jeremiah's exact phrase at the Last Supper, the moment the two testaments visibly join. Matthew 5 verse 17. "Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them," Jesus' own answer to this whole question. That word, fulfill, is the key to the relationship. Not delete. Not contradict. Fulfill. The way a wedding fulfills an engagement, the way sunrise fulfills dawn. The engagement isn't the wedding's enemy, it's the wedding's promise. So, what changed and what didn't? The New Testament's own letter on this question is Hebrews, which quotes Jeremiah 31 in full and then works out what it means, Hebrews 8. Painting with a broad brush, here's the shape most Christians across history have seen. The sacrifices, the temple, the ceremonial system, those were the scaffolding, real, God-given, and always pointing forward to a final sacrifice they could only sketch, Hebrews 10 verse 1. When the real thing arrived, the scaffolding had done its job. That's why Christians don't offer lambs, not because the Old Testament was wrong, but because it was right and what it pointed to came. God's character, his moral will, the promises, the psalms you pray in the dark, those don't expire because they were never scaffolding. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself are both Old Testament quotations, Deuteronomy 6 verse 5, Leviticus 19 verse 18. Jesus cites them as the greatest commandments. The Old Testament is not the enemy of the New. It's the promise the New keeps. It's honest to add, exactly how the law applies to Christians today, Sabbath, for instance, is a question faithful Christians have long discussed, and it's a great one to bring to the examine tool and your pastor. The storyline, though, promise then fulfillment, is the Bible's own framing, stated by Jeremiah, Jesus, and Hebrews alike. Why this matters for how you read. Practically, this is the single biggest context upgrade you can get. Read every page asking where it sits in the story. A law in Leviticus, a psalm of David, a promise in Jeremiah, a command of Jesus. They're all in the same story, but they're not all at the same point in it. That one habit dissolves half the contradictions people claim to find, and it turns the Old Testament from a confusing rulebook into what it actually is, the long, aching, promise-keeping love story that makes the cross make sense. Source: Jeremiah 31 verses 31 to 34, the New Covenant Promised, 600 BC. Source: Luke 22 verses 14 to 23, the Last Supper, where Jesus claims that promise. Source: Hebrews chapters 8 to 10, the New Testament's own extended answer to this question. Source: Genesis 12 verses 1 to 3, 2 Samuel 7 verses 12 to 16, the Abraham and David covenants the story runs on. Examine for yourself. Read Jeremiah 31 verses 31 to 34, then Luke 22 verses 14 to 23, then Hebrews 8, in that order, ideally in one sitting. Watch the same promise pass from prophet to Jesus to explanation. Then bring what you notice to your church, and if a specific law puzzles you, run it through the examine tool honestly.